What is up? Welcome into Tide Talk Live. Stacy Blackwood, joined as always by my good buddy Jake Thomas on what is a bittersweet edition of the show. We'll get into that here in just a few minutes. But thank you guys so much for watching. Thank you for tuning into our show. I was off on vacation for the last 10 days or so. I'm back now, but yeah. Good to be back. But enjoyed my time, you know, kind of relaxing for a few days at the beach and getting to spend some quality time with the family. But going to get everybody together tonight. We'll talk about what the massive announcement is here in just a second. But we got some stuff we got to get out of the way. Make sure you do like, share, and subscribe here on YouTube. Continue to build the audience here at Tide Talk Live. We would greatly appreciate that. Jump in the comment section. Give us your thoughts and opinions on the Crimson Tide. Make sure you follow each of us on Twitter. I'm at Blackwood89. He's at Jake Thomas TTS. So, you know, boost our followers over there as well. We are presented by Believe and brought to you by betonline.ag. And we'll tell you about BetOnline here in just a minute. But I do want to get to the main focus of the show today, of the announcement. And it's a bittersweet day, I guess, is the best way to put it. But this will be my last show with Tide Talk Live. Tide Talk Live is not going away, but I will no longer be co-hosting this with Jake, but Jake's going to be here to carry the torch. I've been presented with an opportunity elsewhere that I just cannot turn down. So you'll know more about that when August rolls around, but just know this is my last show with Tide Talk Live. And like I said, this is a bittersweet moment for me. For those of you who don't know, me and Jake are cousins. We're more like brothers, though. Yep. Grew up together, spent most every day together growing up. And we decided to start this show, I think we talked before we went live, I think 7 years ago this August. Mm-hmm. So we have been riding together on this endeavor on, you know, the podcast platform, YouTube platform. And now it's created an opportunity for me that, like I said, I just can't pass up. Jake is thankfully and graciously supporting me 100%. And I can't thank him enough for that, because breaking the news to him was a really tough decision for me. But like I said, this is my last show with Tide Talk Live. What a run it's been, Jake. I don't even know where to begin in that regard.
Yeah, man. It's, you know, we talked about it several times when we did our very first episode. We sound like two hillbilly hits. Just, you know, I still can't talk correctly, but we improved ourselves. We got less camera shy. We got a little bit, you know, better talking, better speaking, come up with a lot more topics. Then, you know, we first started out as Double Coverage Podcast. You know, we'll go a little history lesson here.
Yeah.
And, you know, we pretty much talked about all forms of sports, but we got to realizing that, you know, our main base was Alabama fans. So then that's when we kind of consolidated. It's like, look, we need to tap into that. And that's when Tide Talk Live was born. And then, you know, we was doing the podcast side of it. We've been on Spotify and Anchor and all that for forever now. Our very first episode till even this one will probably go out on Spotify and Anchor and all that. But we, you know, it came to another point where, you know, this opportunity was like, you know, let's try the YouTube thing. Mm-hmm. And we did that. And it just opened up another venue for us to talk about what we love, and that's Alabama sports. Now, football is the main thing here, but we love all sports at Alabama. We're not just gumps. We're everything. We're fans of everything at Alabama. And, you know, and that's luckily for Stacy has opened up some opportunities, and I'm so happy for him. And like Stacy mentioned, I'm still going to be here. I'm still going to carry this thing. Maybe one day in the future, we can have Stacy back as a guest and all that. I don't think he's going away forever, you know, no. But right now that's where we're at. And I, you know, Stacy, I'm extremely happy for you. I know that you said it was bittersweet, and, you know, especially tell me that, you know, when I got that text message, when I got that text message, I was actually home sick with COVID, and I just woke up and not feeling well. And I was like, oh man, I feel 100 times worse now reading that, But you know, it's a grateful opportunity for you, and I'm excited, and I know, you know, you're going to do great things out there in your next occupation and what you're doing. So I'm excited for you.
Well, I really appreciate that, Jake. And like I said, the fans have really, especially when we brought the show over to YouTube,
yeah,
they have really, you know, catapulted and launched our show and our platform. And I can't thank everybody enough for tuning into us and, you know, spending a lot of hours with us over the last few years. I mean,
yeah,
if you think about it, you know, people are taking time away from other things they could be doing to spend time with us talking Alabama football and all Alabama athletics. So thank you guys from the bottom of my heart. I can't tell you how much I appreciate all of you, because you are part of what has created this opportunity for me. So I couldn't be here in the position that I am without all of you guys. So I really appreciate that. Before we continue, I do got to tell you guys about BetOnline. BetOnline is the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for everything online sports betting. Right now, you can receive 50% free bet up to $250 on your first deposit to bet on anything from the Olympics to baseball to Formula One racing. BetOnline has every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. Then when the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get on a game of blackjack, poker, or just simply unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head on over to betonline.ag today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. BetOnline, the game starts here. All right, guys, so if you're just now joining the show, the massive announcement is that this is my last show with Tide Talk Live. I've been presented with the opportunity that I just can't pass up within this realm, just so everybody knows. So you're going to be seeing me, just you won't be seeing the Tide Talk Live, and you unfortunately not seeing Jake there alongside me on the screen. But it is a bittersweet moment, because I'm excited about the opportunity, but it's hard to leave this specific space that we have here at Tide Talk Live, because I believe it's a group of special fans, and what I can't express what you guys mean to me. So thank you, like I said, so much from the bottom of my heart. You have helped create this opportunity for me, and I couldn't be more excited for not only what I have moving forward, but also what Jake is going to continue to do here at Tide Talk Live as I move on to other avenues. Just get to the chat real quick. C-Bama says, Roll Tide. Good to have you. Skip says, Roll Tide. Justin Summerlin, Roll Damn Tide, everybody. Bama will keep rolling. College football on notice. DeBoer is the new era Nick Saban. That's certainly a take, but it's something that I'm becoming a believer in more and more every day. No doubt about it.
You know, Stacey, I think I read, it's been – maybe a month or two ago, and it might have been posted on one of our other videos, but this particular person has said, you know, Nick Saban stepped back and you know, he pretty much quote retired, but he gave his services to Kalen DeBoer and still recruiting for Kalen DeBoer. It may be the most ingenuous thing that Nick Saban has ever done for the football at Alabama, you know. Just by doing that, just getting, you know, a group of like willing, you know, coordinators and assistant coaches and stuff that are hungry and things like that. You know, I don't see this team. I know there's something that come out today about the team maybe being like 10-2, 9-3. I don't see how this team loses three games. And I did say 10-2 record, you know, as my prediction. But honestly, the closer we get to football season, I'm getting more Homer in me, but I just don't see, outside of Georgia, I don't see anybody beating Alabama, honestly. And I really don't think Georgia can beat Alabama.
Well, I mean, look, Alabama's the last team to beat Georgia in the SEC championship game. Basically, both teams are, you know, lost relatively the same amount of production. I mean, you can nitpick some certain areas, but I think overall, from and the proof's in the pudding. Look at what 247 put out. You know, Alabama has the second most percentage of blue chip players on their roster. So the talent on the roster is not in question. That can't be brought, that cannot be part of the equation. They're just as talented as Georgia. They're just as talented as Ohio State. They're just as talented as Texas, as Oregon, and all these other elite teams in college football entering this season. So you can't talk about player or personnel.
Right.
The personnel is there. Okay. So, yes, you lose the greatest college football coach of all time, but who do you replace him with? Only the guy who just went to the college football national playoff championship game.
Right. Yep.
So, and took a team there that just 2 years ago before he got there was a had a losing record.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes, what, 25-3 in his something 2 years like there?
Yeah.
I mean, something just ridiculous. The most wins ever in a 2 year span in college football history.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
I didn't know that. That's why.
That's I mean, that's the guy who they replaced him with. So right. I think, and the truth is, the closer the season gets, the people that were, you know, had the attitude that Alabama was going to just, you know, fall off a cliff. The closer the season gets, they're kind of backpedaling on that, and they're kind of saying, you know, Kalen DeBoer's a really good coach. He's recruiting well. Alabama's still got a lot of good players. They're going to be pretty good. So most of those people have kind of backtracked a little bit.
Yeah,
but I just don't understand all of the I hate to say naysayers, because that's really – people are not really – not thinking Alabama's not going to be good. But I love that we were third, by the way, behind Georgia
too.
And Texas. I love that Nick Saban done it on purpose. You won't ever convince me of anything different.
Yep.
Justin says 12-0, baby, will shock the nation and win the Natty the first year.
Love it.
I mean, I would not be surprised – I would be more surprised that they went undefeated in the regular season than I would be if they won the national title.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I think Alabama's got just as good a chance as Georgia, Texas, Oregon, Ohio State. I think one of those teams will be the national championship winner this year. And Alabama's got just as good a shot as any of them. They got as good a roster as anybody. And, you know, outside of Kirby Smart, because he's won two national titles in the last 3 years, got just as good a coach as anybody.
Right.
Yeah. So I think a lot of the people were, when we talked about this too, you know, it's a lot of wish casting, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right, Stacey. And one other thing about Kalen DeBoer at his time at Washington, you know, when he got there, you talked about his time, and they had kind of fallen on some hard times. And, I mean, he got to the national championship. He has recruited a couple, you know, big-time players. But you don't think Washington as a five-star blue chip place where five stars and great players go. He won with mainly three and low four-star players and got to the national championship game. You know, and what he did with Michael Penix, you know, Michael Penix was, I think, was he had Illinois, wasn't it?
Or
Indiana. And, you know, he was injury prone and never could make the field. He went when Kalen DeBoer went to Washington, he pretty much, you know, changed his career and Penix went, what, 10th in the draft?
It was either 9th or 10th, something like that, the Falcons. Yeah.
So, I mean, he went from being an injury-prone bug and just taking up a space to being a top 10 pick in the NFL draft.
I mean, well, I think that's you touched on it there, the ability to develop players.
Yep.
The Washington Huskies had 10 players drafted in the 2024 NFL draft.
Yep.
I don't know they've ever had that many. They may have in their past. I couldn't tell you, to be honest with you.
Right.
But I would be shocked if they've ever had 10 drafted before.
And yeah, you're right.
You're talking about a program that was consistently, you know, in the 30s and 40s and even 50s in recruiting.
Right.
To all of a sudden they have 10 guys drafted in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
That tells me that this coaching staff and Kalen DeBoer more specifically knows how to develop his players and also put his players in the best position to be successful on the field and boost their draft stock. And Michael Penix is a prime example of that.
Yeah. And I think that was one of the keys that Nick Saban and Greg Byrne, you know, honed in on when they was looking for the next replacement coach for Nick Saban is player development. And they got probably one of the best in the business for sure.
And it just shows how good these guys are, like Greg Byrne and Nick Saban, because I'm sure he was, you know, even if it was slightly involved, he had to have a little bit of conversation with Byrne, I would imagine. But, you know, when we're in that moment, everybody's talking about Dan Lanning and, you know, some other names. And Kalen DeBoer's name was mentioned too. But to me, now in hindsight, it's 2020. Mm-hmm. There was not a more obvious choice than Kalen DeBoer.
Right.
I mean, that should have been your one and only phone call if you're Greg Byrne, and it probably was. Mm-hmm. I know we talked about Steve Sarkisian. We talked about, like I said, Dan Lanning. But
yeah.
To me, I mean, you're talking about a guy that's 5-0 against those dudes.
Yeah.
It was a no-brainer who the first call should have been. And, you know, credit to Greg Byrne for, you know, in about 48 hours from Nick Saban retiring, he's got Kalen DeBoer on a jet to Tuscaloosa to welcome him as the next football coach of Alabama. So, yep. and the way he is just – the transition has just been incredible.
Yep.
And I just couldn't be more excited for what the DeBoer era is going to bring. And like Justin says, that offense, they have a chance to be elite. Special.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking Special. About the best interior offensive line in the country, guard to guard. You got Caden Proctor, who's going to be a year better, a year more mature. He's getting his body in better shape at left tackle. You're either going to have Elijah Pritchard or Wilkin Formby at right tackle. Either one is a good young player with a lot of upside. Mm-hmm. So even if you have some struggles early on, you can survive.
Yep.
Yep. Then you look at the weapons. I mean, Jalen Milroe may be the biggest nightmare of a game plan in college football because he's just so elite athletically. You look at the running backs. I think the combination of you know, Richard Young, Jam Miller, and Justice Haynes is going to be as good as anybody has in the country. Wide receivers have some stuff to prove, no doubt.
Right.
They have some stuff to prove. Kendrick Law's got to prove some stuff. Kobe Prince has been a good player his first 2 years, but can he be a go-to guy? Ryan Williams, all the accolades coming in, but I think he can be a good player. So I'm confident that this receiving group can put it together and make plays, especially in this type of offense that Kalen DeBoer and Nick Sheridan is going to run.
Absolutely. And speaking of the wide receivers, they have one of the best wide receiver coaches in Jamarcus Shepherd. So, you know, I'm excited to see this dude, you know, especially, you know, it seems like we've had some good wide receiving coaches, but this guy right here, he gets the best out of his players. So I'm excited to see this, like you said, Stacey, this wide receiver group grow because there's a lot of talent there. Like you said, Kobe Prentice, Kendrick Law. I was hoping Kendrick Law would have made that turn last year, but mm-hmm. he never really did. I feel like he can be a X factor for this team this year because they can put him in the backfield, line up right beside a running back. They can move him in the slot. I mean, he's also a guy that you have to, you know, prepare for. Mm-hmm. Because he can be dangerous in the open field.
Well, and one thing to kind of remember when talking about guys like Kobe Prentice and Kendrick Law, well, first of all, you had Isaiah Bond and Jermaine Burton ahead of those two guys. So right. They were the third and fourth option last year as true sophomores. Mm-hmm. And then you compound that with Jalen Milroe only attempted 23 passes on average per game.
Right.
So, you know, when you have, you know, four receivers, you know, three tight ends you're trying to throw the ball to, mm-hmm. three running backs you're trying to throw the ball to, you know, there's only so many balls to go around when you're only making 23 pass attempts a game. So yep. that's important to remember as well. Amari Nyblak saw several targets as well, who's now at Texas. So I think that's an important aspect to remember that as well, because I think you could probably see Milroe around, you know, probably 32 attempts this year.
Yeah.
So you're talking maybe 10 more attempts or so a game. Mm-hmm. That's a lot more distribution he can have to guys like Kendrick Law and Kobe Prentice. Get those guys more involved and let the playmakers make plays, which I think is something that, you know, they wanted to lean on that running game last year because they were breaking a new quarterback. They had that big offensive line who really didn't live up to expectations really until that SEC championship game when they just completely dominated Georgia. But I think with Milroe a year under his belt, DeBoer is a more QB-friendly top coach and offensive coach, I think you're going to see a more focused or a more an offense that's more predicated to getting the ball to the playmakers to make plays.
Yeah, I agree, Stacey. I'm excited about this offense for sure. And I want to go to Justin's point about the 4-2-5 defense. I'm really excited to see this as well. And we talked about Alabama has kind of run like a version of the 4-2-5 for a while now.
This is a nickel defense.
Yeah,
really.
It's a nickel defense. Yeah. But, you know, from what I've been seeing and what I've been hearing about this style of defense is the attacking ability downfield. And you know, I feel like we have the guys that can attack, you know, the downfield aspect of it. I don't think you're going to see a lot of guys on sweeps get to the second and third levels. We're going to have a point of attack right at the line of scrimmage. So I'm really excited about this team. And you know, I know we still got another month to get through, but you know, fall camp's coming up, so we'll start seeing a little bit more. But man, I'm so ready for football season.
Yeah, they start practice. The players report a week from today, and they will start practice on July 31st, which is next Wednesday. So it's here, guys. I mean, it's basically here. Unbelievably, it's here. So that is exciting. And you know, in terms of the 4-2-5 defense, I think what I'm most excited about is that Kane Womack is an aggressive style coach.
Yep.
He's going to coach his players to be ultra aggressive. Mm-hmm. So there may be some big plays, but, you know, they give up big plays under Nick Saban too.
Right.
But I think you're going to see a lot more forced turnovers, a lot more negative plays. Now, when you talk about concerns about this team, I think offensively I'm pretty confident everywhere.
Right.
You know, for the most part. Mm-hmm. Defensively, there's really two places that bother me a little bit. And when I say concern, this is relative to an out. This would not be a concern anywhere, but you know, this wouldn't be a concern at. This is a concern everywhere else, but Alabama is just a little bit different because you're
right.
You know, you're judging them against other Alabama teams.
Yeah.
You know, what do we do at edge? Because Dallas Turner's gone, Chris Braswell's gone, and this 4-2-5 scheme, you really only kind of have one of those type of players. Is it going to be Q Robinson? Is it going to be Keanu Coote, who's turned a lot of heads? Mm-hmm. So I kind of wonder how good of a pass rush we're going to have off the edge, because I think you need to be solid there if you're going to take that defense to the next level. And it also kind of ties in to the other concern, which is at corner, because look, Damani Jackson was a highly rated recruit, but I mean, let's call a spade. He struggled his 2 years at USC.
Yeah,
he didn't play like a five-star guy. Now, he was injured his freshman year for a lot of it with a knee injury that he was just really kind of getting back from. But he was healthy last year and still didn't perform to the level that he's capable of. Now, some of that probably had to do with you know, terrible defensive coaching that USC had. A lot of it had to do is that he didn't have the type of dudes surrounding him as teammates on that defensive side of the ball. So I think that will help improve his play. But he certainly has the tools to be an elite corner. Then opposite to him, is it going to be Deshaun Jones from Wake Forest? Is it going to be Zabian Brown, Zay Mincy? What do we do with that corner opposite of Damani Jackson as well? Because, you know, if you got some weaknesses, like let's look on the other side of the ball. I guess the other weakness on offense is probably right tackle.
Yeah.
You can kind of disguise that, Jake. Mm-hmm. You can, you know, bring a tight end as an extra blocker, you know, use a back to hit him a little bit and give a little extra time. You can disguise that a little bit. You can't disguise a guy getting beat
right
over the top. So there's only so much you can do to help cover up deficiencies in the secondary. But I am confident because, you know, Malachi Moore's back there. I think Devontae Smith's going to put the world on notice. I can't think Keon Saab's going to put the world on notice. Mm-hmm. But what does those two cornerbacks look like? I think Damani Jackson's going to be solid. But what does that other spot look like? You know, maybe it is Deshaun Jones, and maybe he comes in as a really good player. He was a good player for Wake Forest, but this ain't the ACC anymore.
No.
So what does that look like? Or does Zabian Brown, the five-star freshman, beat him out? I mean he was there all spring. So just some question marks to look at in relative to the defense that I think are fair to point out. But I think overall this team, I think you got as good a special teams unit as anybody in the country with James Burnett and Graham Nicholson. So you're A+ there. I think you're probably A- on offense, and you're probably going into the season a B+ on defense, with the potential to be an A- or an A+, and this offense has a chance to be as good as anybody in the country. So the ingredients are there for a championship football team.
Yeah, I agree, Stacey. You know, we have strengths and we have, you know, a few weaknesses. And you know, I feel like every team out there has a weakness of some sort. So, you know, I think Alabama, if they can figure out those weaknesses early on in the season, you know, we really don't have a big challenge to the third game of the year with you know, Wisconsin. We got to go to Wisconsin now. They're kind of been down, but, I mean, it is going to be at Wisconsin. Let's see, that's going to be what, middle of September, end of September. So it's probably going to be probably getting colder up there.
I don't know what the weather's like in September in Wisconsin.
I don't either. But, you know, it's not downright cold. Like, so I think we'll be all right there.
Yeah, and weather then, shouldn't be an impact in that
game. Right. And then, of course, that fourth game. Thankfully, we get it an off week before Georgia. We can see those weaknesses in the first three games. Yeah, and work on that a whole week before we have to play Georgia. So, this coaching staff, man, I think like you said earlier, they're gonna have our players playing at their best, you know, when it counts, and this, they're just hungry, and this team's hungry, and there's just something. I felt a special spark with the team last year, but it kind of fizzled out. I feel that spark again with this team, and if it sparks early, I don't think it's going to fizzle out like it did last year. It's going to stay here all year, and this team is going to be special.
Yeah, that's another important part of having a championship football team is player leadership, and I don't think you can question that this year. Guys like Malachi Moore, Deontay Lawson, Tyler Booker, Jaden Roberts, Jalen Milroe, the leadership is there. So. Yep. That's another important piece of the pie for Alabama this season.
Yeah, absolutely. And credit, and we talk about it too, credit to Kellen DeBoer and the staff for keeping those leaders, you know, on the team. We did lose a few guys, but the core nucleus of this team stayed whenever the transition happened.
No doubt about it.
Yep. So anybody else got anything in the chat?
Well, if that's it, we'll begin to wrap this show up. Once again, we are brought to you by the Believe Network and presented by betonline.ag. So make sure you check out those guys at BetOnline for all your sports betting needs. The massive news here tonight is that this is my final show with Tide Talk Live. Bittersweet moment for me is this is something that Jake and myself have built. Fisting to enter our seventh season, or would be our seventh season together. So, bittersweet moment for me and Jake as well. It's tough to kind of say goodbye to this, but you know, maybe it's just not a goodbye and it's just a see you later, which I'm hoping it is, but I just got an opportunity presented to me that I cannot pass up on. So, you'll still see me, in this type of setting, just, the surroundings will be a little bit different. So the presentation will be a little bit different, but that's all I can say right now. But you'll know more on August 1st when things are officially announced. But this is my last show. I can't begin to tell everybody how much I appreciate what this show has meant to me, what it's meant to Jake, and how much we appreciate all you guys for tuning into us over and over again and just listen to us ramble about some Alabama athletics.
Yeah, absolutely, Stacey. I enjoy doing this last almost 7 years with you. Like I say, you know, we can go back and talk about the past and how we was just sitting there one day talking. It's like, you know, when did you start our own podcast?
I think we were on the golf course, wasn't we?
We was probably on a golf course, yeah. And it's like, we need to start our own podcast. And like I mentioned, we started out as a double coverage podcast, and we talked about all sports, but then we honed in to Tide Talk Live and just focus on Alabama athletics. And it's been a fun ride, man. Like Stacey said, this is his last show. I'm still going to be here. I'm going to still keep this train rolling. So, you know, don't unsubscribe or anything.
No.
Yeah. I'm still going to do some shows. I will, you know, like I said, fall camp starting to, you know, fist and come up here in a couple of weeks. So I'll be in tune for that and getting ready and get some reports out. Talk to you guys about it. And, you know, hopefully one of these days, Stacey can come back on as a guest, and we'll get his knowledge of the game as well and find out how he's doing in his next chapter of his life. So, you know, really excited for you, Stacey. And, you know, appreciate you doing this with me, and I appreciate you, you know, nearly seven years ago when thinking about me doing a podcast with you, because it's been fish lose a clean rating, but it's been a hell of a ride for sure.
No doubt about it. I can't believe it's lasted as long as it has. I didn't think we'd make it one season.
I know.
Much less six seasons and you know, we were full steam ahead, fisting to enter our seventh season until this opportunity came about. And so and none of this is possible without, you know, the subscribers on YouTube, mm-hmm. The people that listen to us on podcasts, which is, I mean, a lot more than I ever imagined. I mean, you know, we get 300 downloads a week on podcast form. It's just incredible, the support that we've received on this show. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for allowing me the privilege of talking some Alabama football and Alabama athletics with you guys. So thank you so much. Like I said, it's not goodbye. It's see you later. Make sure you keep your eyes put on YouTube and other avenues for me. And I'll see you guys there. And I look forward to seeing what Jake does with the channel. I think this channel has a chance to be special. I hope he builds it to the biggest brand in Alabama athletics. So good luck, Jake. I love you, buddy. You're like my brother. And
oh yeah,
like I said, it's not goodbye. It's just see you later. And like Jake mentioned, there shouldn't be any problem with me coming on as a guest from time to time to chat it up with the fans of Tide Talk Live. So guys, thank you so much for your support. And I look forward to seeing you guys real soon. Make sure you do like, share, and subscribe here on YouTube to Tide Talk Live. Get Jake to 3,000 subscribers before the start of the football season. Do it right now. Help him out. But that's going to wrap it up. And for my final sign-off with Tide Talk Live, thank you so much. Look forward to seeing you guys again real soon. But until then, roll tide.
Roll tide.